Hello everyone, it's Petra Garcia with our first episode in English of the Spiritist Talk podcast. I'm very excited and happy for this good opportunity to be speaking in English to all the Spiritists, not only in America, but around the world, and also all our Brazilian friends that may speak English or want to exercise, practice their English. Would be a great opportunity. And I have a very, very special friend with me today for this very special first episode. That is Steve from Asheville in North Carolina. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, Patrick, and thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So I want to invite you that is listening us right now, before our first episode starts, to send an email, a WhatsApp, a message to us if you want to participate with us. So you can also download the Anchor.fm app and send your audio with your opinion, your critics, your suggestions, or anything that you want to tell us. So we are going to have just a brief message, and after the message, we'll start this first interview with Steve. So here we are, officially starting the first episode in English of the Spiritist Talk. We are right now in Asheville, North Carolina, in a beautiful house where Steve with his group are having their studies, Spiritist studies, in a systematic way to teach Spiritism, to learn from Kardec works and also from Chico Xavier works. And he has a lot of great experience to share with us. So for us to start, Steve, can you introduce yourself? What do you do? How is living here in this beautiful place? Can you explain in words how is nature here in Nashville?
My name is Steve Dean, and I have been interested in the spiritual path since I was a teenager, and which is, you know, about 45 years or so now. And Asheville is in the western North Carolina area, is a beautiful place in the Great Smoky Mountains. There's lots of trees, lots of mountains, rivers, lakes, and more people, because it is such a beautiful place to live. And there are many places of great beauty and inspiration in these mountains, which is one of the reasons why people come here. And there are definitely people in this area who are seeking, who want to know more about God and themselves, and how they can spiritually evolve.
Great. And Steve, can you tell to our listeners now a little bit about your religious background? How, where did your parents raise you up? Was as a Christian, or there was no pressure religious-wise? And I know that you were a spiritualist before getting to know Spiritism itself, and you still being a spiritualist, of course, because all of us are spiritualists as well as Spiritists. But can you just share with us your path, your journey until
right.
this point?
Well, my upbringing, my parents were Christian, but not in a real devout way or strong way. So there wasn't really much pressure to believe or think a certain way. And my spiritual searching was pretty much on my own. And in the mid-70s, when I started, a lot of what I was looking into was more of the Eastern paths, Buddhism, Hinduism, and pretty early on I got interested in the work of Paramahansa Yogananda and Kriya Yoga, which focuses primarily on meditation, but is also very open and accepting of other paths or faiths that people have, and is not dogmatic at all. But so that's been Kriya Yoga has been the principal path that I've been on in my life. But at the same time, I've also studied other teachings and other paths and other techniques, and I've always been curious about different ways of looking at the truth, different ways of experiencing the truth, because it seems to me that there are things of value in these different paths, and there's also great value in understanding what other people believe and where they're coming from. And I think when you really look deeply at these teachings, you find that the core truths are the same, and that there's differences in languages, and there might be differences in some of the practices, but essentially it's about coming to a place of love and oneness with God. And Jesus, I think, really summed it up very well with his two commandments, which is to love God and to serve mankind, to serve others. And there's, with that kind of a balanced approach, I think anybody can go a long way in their spiritual evolution.
And how would you say, how different or similar is Spiritism from this tradition that you're coming from?
Well, I think the core values are the same of loving God and serving others. And at the same time, the thing that I think is outstanding and unique about Spiritism is that it has such a clear conception and description of the afterlife and how how our lives, incarnated in human bodies, relates to our lives after we have, after the body has passed on and we have gone into the afterlife, and how this is tied in with the idea of karma, as Jesus said, as you sow, so shall you reap. I mean, this idea that those thoughts, words, and deeds that you're putting out there are basically setting the stage for your experiences in the future all the time. And the depth and breadth of information that comes from the spirits through mediums, in which Kardec, of course, explored in a very scientific and systematic way. That information is fascinating, and it also rings true. And when you look at other traditions, it also corresponds. There's not a real if you look at these traditions in depth, you don't see a contradiction.
Great. And may I ask you, so how did Kardec works impacted in your life?
Well, I really got interested in Spiritism formally through the works of Chico Xavier, and then started reading Kardec. And I think one of the most important things to get out of Kardec is how he went about what he did, which was he asked questions that mattered deeply to him. What is God? What is the nature of this life that we're living? What is it all about? The deep spiritual questions. And he would ask several different mediums who were reputable mediums that seemed to have that ability to set their egos aside and let higher souls speak through them. He would ask the same questions, he would compare the answers, and then he would compile them into his books, and that's how he wrote his books. And I think that when you are involved with mediumship and trying to get guidance in that way, that's just an excellent approach. And it's a scientific approach as you can get. And until we come to the point of having, if we ever come to the point of having machines where spirits can speak through them, which could happen. You have to admire the fact Kardec was a very, he was a renowned educator, extremely intelligent, well-versed in many different disciplines. And so he approached this in a very sober and thoughtful way. And even though I'm sure there were many people, many of his peers who thought this was probably not the smartest thing to do, but he felt deeply about it. He felt that these answers that he was getting were valuable, not only for himself, but for others. And when you read these books, like the Spirits book and the Mediums book, you get a lot of clarity on the point of view of spirits or souls, and you find that point of view is quite different than the commonly accepted point of view that you might see in the media, or that people who are not thinking of spiritual matters, people who are just focused on earthly life, it's a completely different point of view, and it's also a much broader point of view, because you're not just thinking in terms of right now or this lifetime, but you're thinking in terms of, well, you know, what is my life about for all time, covering many lifetimes, and what is the wisest course of action to take with that in mind? And it gives you a completely different way of looking at things.
I want to move to talk about the Spirit Center itself, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as an introduction to that. So
yes.
How do you imagine that this knowledge that you have and your group have right now, when this knowledge spread out to American culture, what can do that do for this country here, especially looking for the moment that we are living right now, the politic fights, wars, and greedy people like
right.
running a lot of stuff.
Sure.
How do you imagine that will happen? Because we know that will happen because it's in the Spirit's book that the Spiritism
yeah.
will become spread out everywhere. But
yes.
What is the impact of that?
I think it will give people a different set of values. And will make them realize that short-term acting in your short-term interest, like, you know, it's sort of like the bank robber. Well, the bank robber can go into the bank and can get a lot of money. And so in the short term, they've got a lot of money. But what are the longer-term consequences of that? And there can be all kinds of, you know, in most cases, you're going to have some unpleasant consequences. And certainly, if you count the afterlife, you're definitely going to have some unpleasant consequences of that, because it's taking things that aren't yours or taking from someone else is just not part of the harmony of life. And so you have to look a little deeper, and you have to look at yourself. And that's something, I think that's a major shift for a lot of people. Looking at themselves, looking at, well, what is, you know, what is in my best interest in terms of my spiritual evolution? What, you know, in what way am I going to be doing myself the most good and also helping others? And one of the things that Christian Spiritism emphasizes, and which I think is also, I don't know if it's unique, but it's definitely emphasized strongly, is this idea that we're all in this together. You know, basically the earth is kind of a schoolroom. And we're all in this schoolroom, but for the most part, we get through this classroom by helping each other, and it's not like you don't have to have the perfect teacher that can tell you everything or that can wave their magic wand to make everything all better. It's a process. And it takes time and it takes effort, because the spiritual process is a process of the soul becoming, for the human being, for the person, becoming aware of who they are as a soul and allowing that identity to become the active operating principle that they're living their lives by. And that that can mean that sometimes you choose to do things that are more difficult than what you ordinarily might choose, but you recognize that there's a greater benefit to that. It's like you know, like you're working, and you know, you could go spend all your money and have a good time, or you could take your money and you could save it and you could invest it, because in the long run, you're going to be better off when you do that. And I think that the spiritual path is very much the same. It's taking a much longer view. And the benefit of that, of course, is that you're going to be happier, and the people around you are going to be happier. And that when it does come time to make that transition, when, you know, this human life is over, you'll be able to look back and have satisfaction that what you did was good and worthwhile, that you made good use of your time and your energy.
Well, as a Brazilian, as an immigrant living here in America, one of the things that I didn't think before moving to here, and was kind of positively surprising, and especially now we see how we see other people, other cultures in stereotypes, because we only learn about them on TV.
Right.
But one of the things that was very surprised to me, it's how religious and how charitable and always thinking about someone else's problems the American people are. So they are very good in heart.
Yeah.
They have this essence that I believe that is from all the countries in America, maybe because of our history. Mm-hmm. or maybe from our souls, I don't know.
Right.
But Americas, they do a lot of charity as well. And
yes,
we can see that pretty clear when there is a hurricane or any other problem. Usually we have the hurricanes or nature problems.
Right.
Impacts here. Right. So we see that a lot of people, TV, and 2 years ago, we had that huge hurricane coming from Florida, and even the airlines, they gave free tickets mm-hmm. for people to leave from there.
Mm-hmm.
And the electrical company, Duke Energy, here in North Carolina, they sent their crews to Florida with no charge, like for free for them to help mm-hmm. the state to be running again. So this is the type of practice that we see, that it's how we see Spiritism as well.
Yes.
And you guys here, the Spiritist Center, you guys do some activities as well to impact the local community. Mm-hmm. As much I know, you can correct me, with the homeless people. Right. Sometimes,
yeah,
can you?
Mostly what we've done is helping to feed, to prepare meals and serve people at a homeless, it's called the Open Door in Waynesville, and they serve 2 meals a day there. And they're nice hot meals, and it's and everybody's respected there. They do a little service, a short service before they feed everybody. But it's very nice, and the an interesting thing about that is that they get a lot of food from restaurants and stores, and they're never at a loss for food. Their pantry is quite full, and so it's and you see people, there's different people in the community that come there, you know, they volunteer to help, and so it's a very nice effort, and so we're happy to be participating in that.
So what they need is volunteers, right?
Yeah.
Groups like yours. Sure. I remember when I went there with you guys,
mm-hmm.
how appreciative was the director.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There and say thank you for coming, thank you for having the group here. And another approach that you guys do there that I think is it's so nice, it's there is the human part, there is mm-hmm. the getting in touch.
Right.
You
right.
guys do not only serve or prepare or do everything in a very organized way, but you also are aware that you guys are there for the eternal spirits there.
Right.
Are homeless at that moment, but they're eternal spirits.
Yes.
You guys hug, touch them, look them in the eyes.
Sure.
Have conversations. Can you? Why are you guys doing that way? Is something in Spiritism related to that?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, I mean that's another thing about the spiritist point of view, or the soul's point of view, is that we are all the same. That we are all children of God, and that the roles change, you know, depending on what our life situation is. But essentially, we're all the same, and so and everybody does have something to offer. Everybody does have, you know, everybody can contribute in some way, and to me this is a very important realization, and it's something I would like to see happen with the homeless more in this country, that they are given opportunities to do constructive work, because to me the greatest tragedy of people that are in that situation, and I see it in Asheville, is people that just seem to have nothing to do, and they're just living on the streets, and it's one of the great contrasts in this country is there's great wealth, but you also have people that are literally sleeping on the sidewalk. in you know, right now Asheville is booming economically. You know, it's I think we're in the greatest economic boom of my lifetime in this country, and yet we still have people that have very little. I mean, I don't think there's that many people that are actually starving, but there are definitely people that are living on the streets, sleeping on the sidewalks, and yet it really touches your heart to see that.
There are a lot of Brazilians, Stephen, living here in the U.S., and many spiritual centers that they don't do charitable activities because they believe that there is no poverty here in the U.S. Oh. So no, it's not like Brazil. Brazil is easy. It's easy to find people to help. Is that hard to find poor people here?
Well, not in the cities. I don't know. Maybe in rural areas you don't see it as much, but in cities, I mean, even Waynesville is not that big of a town, and there's definitely homeless people there. Asheville, I see it every time I go downtown, I see homeless people. In the large cities, they have horrible homeless problems in Los Angeles, and, San Francisco, and other large cities. Yet to me it's something that needs, you know, to me everybody that is willing and able to work and do something constructive should be able to and should you know have a decent life. I mean, I'm not a socialist or anything, but it just seems to me there are plenty of things in this world that need to be done, and so I'm not sure how that would work, but I think as a society, you know, if, you know, it's an interesting thing. Somebody, there was a, Mahatma Gandhi went to England one time in the 30s, and there was a reporter asked him, what do you think of Western civilization? And Gandhi said, I thought it would be a good idea. And because I don't think as long as you have people who are, you know, living in need like that with, you know, when they don't want to, I don't think you can really call that a true civilization. Of course, there's a lot of other things going on in our world that make it, to me, less civilized. Also, war and, you know, addiction and you know, a lot of the other problems. But I believe that we are, you know, the people are becoming more conscious, that they are more aware that we are all connected, and that, you know, we are going to correct these problems as we go along.
Yeah. And we have been doing charitable activities together for a long time now, I guess.
Or yes, a couple of years.
Now, and it's very interesting to highlight that all those activities that you guys have been doing here, and also in the fraternal meeting events, is not only based in material help, not because material help is not important. It's very important, especially to the ones that are hungry or are having facing the cold outside. It's it's fall now, winter is coming, all of that. But also providing the spiritual help at the soup kitchen that you guys do. I remember once when we went in Marietta, Atlanta, area in Georgia, when we went in a rainy day in a house to offer the gospel at home to those family. And there was a terrible familiar situation there related to health problems.
Are you thinking about the trailer park?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that was really something. Here we are, we had brought some clothes and shoes and things for people, and we went to this trailer park in Atlanta, which was a poor community. And we came to this one trailer, and this woman, I believe her daughter was getting an operation, I think it was. And here's this little woman, you know, maybe 5 foot tall, I don't know. And she's living in this trailer, and she asks us in to pray with her. And we're perfect strangers. We've never met this lady before. She invites us into her little trailer. She has an open flame gas burner heating the thing, which you're not supposed to do. And here we are. You know, most of us were men, quite a bit bigger and larger than her, and she didn't care. And we prayed with her, and that was very meaningful for her. And she was in a state of anxiety about her daughter, and she had, you know, was really focused on that. And so when we came along, we were the kind of spiritual help I think that she was really wanting at that time. And of course, in Spiritism, in any of the work that is done, we're not only dealing with the incarnate people, but we're also dealing with the discarnates, and we who are also drawn to those activities or those situations, or who are connected to the incarnate people that we're interfacing with. And so we don't really know how many of these beings there are at any given time, but we do know from what the spirits have told us that they are being helped as well. And that there's not only is there a cooperative effort going on with the people and the spiritist group, but there's also a cooperative effort going on with spirits who are living in the next life. And so it's on all levels, it's a cooperative effort. And it's also, I believe that Christian Spiritism is also a training for what we'll be doing in the next life as well.
Yeah. Another example that I remember it's very life in my memory. It's a proof how with just a little help, we can make a lot of change, including in a community. Mm-hmm. Remember in Fayetteville, I believe also 2 or 3 years ago in the Alta de Souza Fraternal Campaign, mm-hmm. or the Fraternal Food Drive, when all the community, they could help one house, and you went with them. Yeah, can you tell us, do you remember that day?
I believe that was when we came to a house, we were doing a food drive and asking people to donate, which we were going to give to the local food bank. And we came to one house and this lady said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any food." And she had a couple of young children. And so what we did was we took the donations that we got from her neighbors and we brought that food to her. And that meant a lot to her. And it also was also a way for her neighbors, who probably didn't know that she was in that situation, to help her out. So I think she just moved in into that place, and they were quite poor at that time. So anyway, I mean, it's interesting some of the things that happen when you're doing service work. You get to the people that are serving get served by opening themselves up to help others. And then you also find people that really need help that might not have another resource to help them at that time. So it's sort of like the right connections get made, and the help goes where it needs to go.
Yeah. I remember from this specific fraternal meeting, this specific day, there was an American journalist there that was husband of a Brazilian member that was joining the event there. And she thought, "Oh, I want you to go with me to see what is my faith, the spirit is that I believe." And on Saturday during the lectures and all of that, he was kind of quiet and close. And then on Sunday, when he went to the Alta de Souza food drive and saw all of that and saw that thing happening, he said, "Wow, this is different. Mm-hmm. This is a different religion. I have never seen that before. This kind of stuff happening. You guys not only staying in the lecture standard, but also going and making the change that you guys were talking about before. It's so nice because I know your connection with Chico Xavier and how you and Bobby, that is your wife, have this strong connection with him. It's kind of cool to be doing or following his steps, not being just as another regular religion, just preaching, giving lectures or conferences or something like that, but also putting in action what we are learning.
Right.
How do you see charity as this one of the tools for self-enlightenment and as a preparation for the mediunic activity or for mediunic development and also for happiness itself?
Well, it brings you out of yourself and your own concerns. And it, if you really think about it, no matter how bad your situation is, there's somebody else that has it even worse. It gives you a good feeling. I mean, very basically, I mean, if you get down to the very, very basics of it, when you're engaged in some kind of a service to help others, and you can see that this is something that is helpful, whether you're physically serving, whether you're praying, whether you're just talking to them and helping to cheer them up, I think inevitably you are going to feel better. So often people get obsessed or wrapped up in themselves and their own problems, or maybe they're watching TV and they get caught up in all the problems. The news is only going to show you the bad stuff, by the way. If you want happy news, don't look at TV. And of course, you know, when you talk about Christian Spiritism, Jesus was the example of serving others. I mean, he healed people, he fed people, he encouraged people, he freed people from negative situations and obsessions. And that was his example in terms of how to live. And that's how he encouraged people to live, because it's, you know, when we serve others, it takes us out of ourselves. We are contributing in a positive way, and it opens us up to also letting go of any negativity that we're holding on to, letting go of worries or concerns that we have about ourselves. If you're helping other people, it's hard to be worried about yourself. I mean, that's a real basic thing. I mean, you may still have problems, but it makes you realize that it's not that important, and that it can definitely change your perspective.
Yeah, so you already said that your spiritist group here, you guys have the charitable activities, you guys have the study group. Well, what is the name of the group?
It's the Western North Carolina Christian Spiritist Group.
And when was that founded?
Oh, it was a couple of years ago. I don't remember exactly when. It was probably two and a half years ago, something like that. We are currently near the end of the passes course, so that will be the third course that we will have gone through, and then the last one is the magnetic chain.
Great. And many Brazilians, but many people, they don't know if it's their spiritist groups only run by Americans, with no Brazilians in there. How many Brazilians do we have in the group here?
We don't have any unless they come to visit, which happens occasionally, like when you come, and we're always very happy to have our Brazilian American friends come by. But we're all Americans. We're all born and raised here in the United States. Everybody in the group is somebody that has been studying spirituality for a long time, been involved in healing, most of us, in one way or another, with energy work and so forth. So it's a really good group. I feel very blessed to be working with this group.
Yeah, so a group that is organized and run and studying and doing charity and doing the passes course,
yes,
doing mediunic activities, all run by themselves, following 100% Kardec works, following 100% Chico Xavier's teachings and Emmanuel teachings, Andrea Lewis teachings, and yes. How many members do you guys have?
There's five of us all together.
That are always frequent here, right?
Yes. Yep. Yep. Been coming here steadily. And it's a really good experience, and I mean one of the things that early on that I mentioned was one of Jesus's sayings, that in my Father's house are many mansions. This idea that this is the reality that we know here on earth is one reality out of many, many different planets, states of consciousness, dimensions, whatever you want to call it, and that opening ourselves through study and practice and service is a way for us to prepare ourselves to experience greater realities, and to which I believe is the destiny of all souls. As souls, every one of us has a destiny to experience much more than what we're experiencing now. To me, Earth life is kind of like preschool or kindergarten, and there's a lot more. It's like we're just sort of getting the basics together. You know, how to get along with each other, how to have a relationship with God, and how to get focused on our spiritual evolution.
At the beginning, like 5-6 years ago, we thought, well, it would be impossible to see spiritist groups here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Without Brazilians, how can we? And I'm just seeing a quote from Walt Disney in the wall here. This is, it's kind of fun to do the impossible.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's really good. But I want you to, as an American, to say to tell us your opinion, especially to the Brazilians that are living here in the West. Mm-hmm. They speak English, but they feel shy, or they feel not prepared to help. Or to translate, or to produce content, right, or to go and reach people in English, right, here. So, because they believe that, oh no, I have an accent. Oh, I'm an immigrant. So, how important is this? Is their help to this to improve or to make it grow? Because they have the knowledge. So they have the knowledge. Then it's a big deal have an accent speaking English to Spiritism or to other people to come to Spiritism.
I don't think an accent is that big of a thing. I don't think having perfect English is that big of a thing. Although, I do think that having, we work with PowerPoints with all these classes, and I've been working with these to get them into, the best English that I can do. And I think that having materials that are in English that's been proofread, by Americans so that it's so that for when you have Americans come into your group, it's readily they can get it, they can understand it easily. I think the thing that is most important for anybody is to have a positive, loving attitude, to have good energy, to be friendly, to that really, when I went to my first fraternal meeting, that was something that really impressed me very strongly, was that this good feeling, these people are positive, they're happy, they're friendly. That speaks volumes about a spiritual path. I mean, if you walk, come to a spiritual group and everybody's kind of serious and they don't seem very happy and things are kind of dull, and that doesn't speak very well for how connected to spirit that group is. But when you encounter people who are, have this joy, then to me they're plugged in. They are connected with spirit. And that counts more than anything. And if your English needs work, then practice on it, And of course, the best practice you can have is speaking with Americans.
Yeah, that would be a great partnership, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so what I understood is the love in action is much more important than the accent itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and this partnership will be great.
Yes.
And it's how, because... as you said before as well, we are all in the same school,
yeah,
living here.
Right.
And so guys, let's produce. Don't worry that my English, I'm trying to do here something here, but to reach more people and to try to express in the best way. And the spirits, of course, will also help us. And you guys will find people with a big heart, as big as my friend Steve here. Steve, thank you very much for being with us here in the Spiritist Talk. Thank you very much for disseminating, for practicing Christian Spiritism here as well. And my last question for you, it will be, what is your favorite quote from Christian Spiritism or passage or...
Well, maybe it's Chico's quote, probably one of his most famous quotes, that you can't go back and make a new beginning, but anybody can begin. I'm paraphrasing. Anybody can begin anew now and make a new ending. And I think that's a very spiritist idea, that no matter where we're coming from, if we can change our path at any time. We have the power of God within us, which can transform anything. And all it takes is our will and our faith and our action to make that a reality.
So thank you very much again for being here with us, and to our listeners, thank you very much for your patience, for being with us, to supporting us. And also, I want to highlight that we are on several different platforms, both in Portuguese and English, maybe very soon in Esperanto, in Spanish, in French, I don't know. But you can find us on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, and also on Anchor.fm. Download the app and send to us a feedback. Send the audio to Steve, to me. And are you surprised that we have this group here, all of Americans doing charity, studying, learning passes and giving passes and all of that? We would love to hear from you and keep connected for the new English versions episodes of the Spiritist Talks. Thank you very much. May God bless all of us in all the problems, this struggles and the challenges that we are facing in this moment. Jesus bless all of us. Thank you.